This was a joint research between the International Potato Center and the University of Florida. The name of the study was Impact of Land Use Change on Soil Fertility, a Case Study in the Peruvian Puna Grassland. So first, to locate ourselves in the study area, the study was conducted in Junin, which is in the central Peruvian Andes. It is part of the wet Puna ecoregion. And the wet Puna ecoregion is dominated by this kind of grasslands, which are C3 bunch grasses. The precipitation tends to be high, between 800 to 1,000 millimeters in an annual basis. And the temperatures tend to be pretty low. So what happens here is that the low temperatures and the high rainfall tend to make these soils very high in organic matter, since the decomposition tends to be pretty slow. So what is...
Can you closer to your microphone?
Okay.
It's fine
now? Okay, so what is happening right... Okay, what is happening right here, right now in this environment, is that there is a huge land use change, or a big land use change driven by this crop, which is the tuber crop that you see there in this picture. It's called maca. And maca is thought to increase human fertility and to have some aphrodisiac properties when you take it as a supplement. But it also is known to have energizing and antioxidant properties, which has been actually proven by medical sciences. So in the last few years, there has been a huge increase in the land used, because of it was like a very popular crop, and is gaining more popularity in different countries like China and US and Europe. So this drives the prices up, and so everybody now in Junin wanted to grow maca. And as you can see there in the picture, in this picture down here, this is a fallow land from maca. It was cropped like maybe 3 or 4 years ago, and you see that the vegetation is very different, and if you compare it with an undisturbed grassland. So people in the area tend to think that the cropping of this crop tend to deplete soil fertility, and that's why we see a different botanical composition in the grassland. So in order to test this hypothesis, or this idea, what we did is we had three different hypotheses. The first one was to measure the impact of the land use change in soil fertility related to the maca cropping, and see if a long fallow period can recover that. Usually here the fallow period is pretty long, of more than 7 years. We had a second objective that was to measure how soil fertility behaved in a long-standing perennial ryegrass white clover mixture in this area, to see if this was a more sustainable practice in this agroecosystem. And the third objective was to define key soil variables which limit soil fertility in this agroecosystem. So what we did was we sampled soils from 12 different ranches, maca ranches, which are the dots in the black dots in the map. We sampled 8 maca 1 plots, which stands for maca 1 stands for lands or plots that have been only cropped for one year of maca. 13 maca 2 plots. Maca 2 stands for plots that have been cropped for 2 or 3 years since the initial encroachment of the land. 10 fallow plots, which are long fallow period plots. And for each set of NERBI and similar slope plots, we also sampled a native grassland as a control. And for the case of the cultivated pasture, as it is not so common to find cultivated pastures that have been cropped very, very far away or long away, we sampled only one unique cultivated pasture of 120 hectares, with a big area. We did 20 different samples in this pasture, and also 20 samples from near native grasslands. In the field, we measured field slope, plant cover, in order to measure to see if soil erosion was an issue. We also measured bulk density. In the lab, we measured soil texture, pH, phosphorus, cation exchange capacity, exchangeable cations, total nitrogen and carbon of the soil, the nitrogen 15 and carbon 13 of the soils, the CN ratio and water stable aggregates, the concentration of water stable aggregates. And we did also a little trial to measure soil nitrogen mineralization in an incubation study of the soils. We did it for nitrate and for ammonium mineralization. And we also did a pot experiment in order to use the biomass of this C4 plant as an indicator of the fertility of the soils. So each one of these pots corresponds to one field that we sampled in Junin. The statistical analysis that we performed for the MACA case was a mixed unbalanced ANOVA. In the fixed factor was the land use, and the random factor was the set of pair samples in order to control for the differences in soil fertility across different locations, ranches, and different slopes in the field. For the case of the cultivated pasture and native grassland, as it was in the same place, we only did a Mann-Whitney U-test, which is a non-parametric two-way test. And the results, surprisingly, we didn't find a decrease in soil fertility, but all the opposite. We actually found that in the MACA case, there was an increase in the nitrification of the soil, so we found greater nitrate values. We also find a greater phosphorus value and a greater potassium value in the MACA 1 plots, as you can see here. So what we would suggest here is that maybe tillage of the soil would disturb the soil aggregates and decompose some of the material, organic matter there, and release some nutrients when you do the initial encroachment of the soils. And maybe also there is also some manure that's been applied there, so that could also be improving the fertility. And even if you see the values of the fallow plots, which are 10 years after the initial disturbance of the soil, you will see that there are actually no differences with the native grassland values. So there is not even a degradation of the soil even in the fallow plots. But however, what I wanted to show to you is that when we did a correlation between the potential fertility index of the Guinea grass pot experiment with the different variables that we measured, and for the fallow plots, we found that actually a slope was negatively correlated with fertility, and plant cover and organic matter, which is here, is highly related to the organic carbon, and the total nitrogen was positively correlated with the fertility of the soil or the biomass of these plants. The same for the water stable aggregates. So this might be suggest to us that for the fallow plots, if you do agriculture in steep slopes and if there is no a fast recovery of the plant cover, soil erosion might be an issue. And in these plants and in these plots, maybe there was a decrease in the soil fertility. I wanted to also show that the phosphorus here was correlated with most of the land uses. So, and nitrogen was not. So, and this would lead us to the next slide that would suggest to us that actually in this agroecosystem, phosphorus is the limiting nutrient here. These are multiple regressions using the potential fertility index that I already explained using the pot experiment with the Guinea grass. And we have three different indexes because we use the total biomass of the Guinea grass, only the above ground and the below ground biomass. And for the three cases, we found that phosphorus was the main variable explaining the variability between different fertilities in the different plots. And you will see that neither ammonium nor nitrate is included here. So we conclude that phosphorus is the limiting nutrient. And And also some variables related to the structure of the soil, like bulk density, the water stable aggregates, and variables related to the organic matter. So this is not new. This has been actually reported in other studies that phosphorus tends to be the limited nutrient in this agroecosystem, and it's something to take in consideration if you want to do extension in this area. And for the case of the cultivated pasture, what we found was, again, also the fertility index of the guinea grass was higher actually in the cultivated pasture as well, so we might find a long-term increase of the fertility. We found that the stability or the structure of the soil was also better because there was a higher concentration of aggregates in these soils. And the pH was also a little bit better, maybe because of liming. The magnesium content was also higher, maybe because of the irrigation and also because of the liming with dolomite. So in the long term, we also found a long-term increase of the pastures, right? So we think that the structure was improved because the root biomass tend to be higher in cultivated pastures than in native grasslands. So that might help also to build some aggregates in these soils. And just to conclude, I wanted to say, we found a short-term increase in soil fertility in maca soils. However, we have to take this in with caution because we're just measuring 2 or 3 years of impact. And when you measure even the fallow plots, you will see that in steep topographies and in places with low cover plant cover recovery, you might find even a decrease in the soil fertility driven by erosion. And on the other hand, we found a long-term increase of soil fertility in the cultivated pastures, maybe due to the legumes incorporating some nitrogen and improving the soil structure. And I wanted to end up with these two different pictures. One is a fallow plot, and one is a native grassland. Because, we know that maybe soil fertility is not an issue, but you see that there is a disturbance here, and it is important for the local people to recover the grasslands fast, because the main activity here is livestock raising, mainly sheep and cattle. So if you have old lands, like abandoned like that, it is not useful for the local community and can in the long term be a source of poverty or in the area. So we might need more research focused on assessing how to improve how to recover these disturbed grasslands after the cultivation of maca. Because usually here what you have is just a 2 or 3 years of cultivation of maca, and then people tend to use the land to fallow, and maybe, and sometimes they even just let it abandoned like that. So it is an important issue in this area. And that will be all. And thank you for the questions.
Thank you, Jose. You finished 3 minutes earlier. We have plenty of time for questions. Any question to Jose? Yes.
I forgot to say that, yes, that's true. It's above 4,000 meters above the sea level. So it's very, very high. It's above the tree line. It's pretty cold environment. Yeah.
So the Inca Federation of the pre-Columbian history is obviously known for its extreme use of terraces and contour farming. How come none of those practices have translated into the current times with doing contour farming?
It is true what you say, but actually most of these terracing practices, I think they are below 3,800 meters of the sea level, because up to this elevation there has been no much agriculture. Most of this land was previously just destined for livestock grazing in the Inca Federation, maybe with llamas, alpacas and maybe land also destined for vicuña grazing, but they tend to do some agriculture, but it was most of it was a very small in a small scale, and most of it was just tuber for self consumption, and in this area we didn't find any terracing practices, but But if you go down, you will find them. And maybe because the people up there is not used to do agriculture, but it's most used to do some livestock management. So maybe that's why they're not doing it. But one thing that they do, and it's very common in this environment, is to have long fallow periods of more than 7 or 8 years. Right? So that's one thing that they do in order to conserve the soils.